This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. What's next, Layla?
We have an email from Michael. Hi, I'm a 72-year-old male who's post-CABG.
So a coronary artery bypass graft.
He had a heart bypass, right. My cardiologist wants me to go on a K9 LDL inhibitor.
It's not a K9 LDL, but it's close. And it's I get this confused too, because there's a lot of initials here.
Yeah.
It's a PCSK9 drug.
PCSK9
of
drug.
Of which there are two now. One is Praluent and one is Repatha.
Oh, yeah.
These are injectable drugs, I believe. And they're given monthly.
Wow. So Michael says, I take 20 milligrams of Crestor now, and my LDL is 80. My feeling is that my LDL is already low
not
enough.
Not good enough, well, according to the people who promote these drugs.
Yeah.
They want it like 70 or less. Okay?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a wicked low LDL.
It is.
But it's unclear to me, you know, from looking at these studies, if we're on the right track with these. These drugs are very expensive. They decrease LDL like 60%. And what they're targeting now is LDL of 70 or 60 for people with demonstrable heart disease.
Okay.
And why that is, okay, that's good, but are people having a reduction in heart disease? They say yes. They say yes.
Okay.
However, there's a lot of controversy in the medical community about these because they say, are these cost effective? They will somewhat lower the risk of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
But is it worth it for these expensive injectable drugs?
Mm.
They certainly are bonanza for the pharmaceutical industry, which is running out of patents on traditional statin drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So they say PCSK9 inhibitors, I'm quoting, fill an obvious therapeutic niche in selective high-risk patients such as familial hyperlipidemia or statin intolerant patients who are not able to achieve the desired LDL-C level with conventional treatments. The problem is what they've said is these are the right patients for these treatments, but this person is neither familial hyperlipidemia nor statin intolerant.
Yeah.
He's already been on a statin.
He's on 20 milligrams
and the doctor
Crestor.
Is just not satisfied with the,
right.
You know, really, you know, how low can you go of the LDL and wants to more aggressively lower the LDL with on the prospect that this will pan out eventually and save lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's not been demonstrated that conclusively yet.
Okay.
Will there be other side? You know, people take these drugs for 5, 10, 15 years. Will they live longer? Will they develop other problems?
Mm.
Will their brains be deprived of cholesterol?
Yeah.
Will they have
heart failure? Will they have heart failure?
Yeah.
So Michael is thinking that increasing his Crestor would be preferable to taking the K9 inhibitor. And what do you think?
I don't know. You know, the problem with Crestor at high doses is it's more likely to cause side effects.
Well, here's a problem I have, Michael. You told us your LDL is 80. Thank you. He has an HDL of 50, Dr. Hoffman, which could be way better.
Yeah.
Okay. And he also has a triglyceride level of 115.
See, I don't know what this guy's doing on diet, exercise, what's his height and weight. I know nothing about this guy.
Right, right.
I also don't know if he has an LP little A that's elevated.
Exactly.
A homocysteine
that could be a
that's elevated.
Better predictor.
A C-reactive protein that's elevated. You know, all these other factors.
Yeah. So, Michael, your triglycerides at 115, there's a whole lot of room for improvement there. Your cardiologist probably doesn't think so, but I do.
I think
it should be under 80.
What's he having for breakfast? You know, toast and egg whites and,
with
a glass of orange juice or something?
Are you having Special K with skim milk?
Yeah.
That's not the way to go.
Yeah.
All those carbs are going to raise your triglycerides, so that's an independent risk factor.
Right.
Could be a reason why you had to undergo a coronary bypass operation.
Yeah, what got you there?
What got you there? Exactly. That's the question. Your HDL is a 50. We'd love to see that in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
For example.
And we'd raise it with exercise.
We raise it with exercise, and we raise it by eating some good fat, like salmon and avocado and grass-fed meat and pastured butter and egg yolks.
Egg yolks, yes.
Egg yolks. Yeah. Believe it or not.
Right.
So
we'll raise the
HDL. These are the foods you should be eating as well, and if anything. So would you advise anyone to take more than 20 milligrams of Crestor? Is that a high dose?
Generally, I start people on 5.
On 5.
One of the problems with Crestor, when it was first introduced, they were recommending doses like 20 and 40. It was almost taken off the market because the side effects were so bad. And they said, do we need yet another cholesterol-lowering medication? This Crestor is bad news. Let's just, get rid of this one.
Yeah.
Then they wisely cut back to doses like 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that it was much better tolerated. And people got somewhat of a cholesterol-lowering effect. So when I prescribe statins, I often prescribe 5 of Crestor.
Yeah.
And in patients who are very intolerant, I might say take it, 3 or 4 times a week. Take it every other day.
Mm. There you go. Start low and slow. As a lot of people are actually requesting now of their doctors. Can you start me low and slow on that medication? Well, there you go.
Oh, we want to play cholesterol limbo. How low can you go?
Wow. Michael, thank you for your question.
Who was that chubby checker who did, it's the limbo.
I don't know who did the limbo. Oh. I don't know. I should know that.
Well, it wasn't, Harry Belafonte.
Right. This would be a good time for a word from our sponsor.
Thank you. You can do this. You can introduce it.
Oh, well. Here's a word from our sponsor, so listen up. This is important information. Here goes.
Thank you, Layla.
Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a free experience for you. And you'll be able to continue to access it so long as they underwrite us. So we like them.
Yeah.
Now back to our questions.
Okay. We've got an email from Jean. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, this item popped up on my Facebook, and I thought you might find it interesting. This is from leafscience.org, and it's about mitochondria.
Life Extension Foundation?
I believe so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's about mitochondria found living independently in the bloodstream.
That is interesting because they're intracellular organelles.
Right.
And they're floating around in the bloodstream?
Exactly.
Wow.
A 7-year study has confirmed that there are intact and fully functional mitochondria in the blood plasma living inside highly stable structures. The researchers use electron microscope to examine plasma samples from approximately 100 people. They discovered that there were up to 3.7 million of these lone mitochondria living inside these structures for every millimeter of plasma.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
So what does it mean?
They're wondering, how did they miss such an important discovery? So this is very interesting.
It's like discovering another planet.
Exactly. And what might that mean? That perhaps that there is another role for these power generating units.
Do they kind of jump around and go to where it's like portable power packs that go to different parts of the body to rescue tissue that needs help?
That may be. And they're finding all of this absolutely fascinating.
With no idea why.
Yeah. We demonstrate for the first time that blood preparation with resting platelets contains whole functional mitochondria in normal physiological state.
So here's one. Hmm. How about this? Is that we culture mitochondria, figure out a way to get a lot of mitochondria to grow, say in a petri dish or in a culture medium.
Yeah.
And then we take it, we suck them up with a turkey baster or a hypodermic needle.
Right.
And we put them in your arm, in your vein, and we shoot you up with some mitochondria, like youthful, vibrant mitochondria.
Wow.
And then they travel around in your bloodstream and they may go to places like your brain and your heart.
And energize you?
That could be good.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be the first subject.
That makes NT factor look like dishwater by comparison.
Oh, no.
It's like you get whole mitochondria. I don't know. I'm just riffing here because this is the first I've heard of this. But, maybe there's a possibility that mitochondria can get transferred within the organism from place to place.
Wow.
And maybe there's a possibility of getting a, you get a blood transfusion. It's like, I need a mitochondrial transfusion. Give me that hypodermic needle full of, 10 billion vibrant mitochondria, and I can shoot myself up with it. That sounds,
that's
a little
fascinating.
A little sci-fi.
Independently found living in blood.
I bet they're working on it.
Yeah, working on it. We'll follow that. Gene, thanks for bringing this to our attention.
Because if I thought it, somebody probably thought about it 10 years before me.
Sure, right? Yeah, you would assume, anybody would assume that, right?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. We have an email from Cindy. Hello, Dr. Hoppen and Layla. I'm so grateful for all your valuable information regarding health and nutrition. I never miss any of your shows. I have a 71-year-old friend who was diagnosed with multiple myeloma after he broke his sternum a year ago. So
the connection is, was it a coincidence? No. The myeloma affects the bone and may soften it.
So this person
had a pathological fracture.
Wow.
Their bone was turning to sponge.
There you go, from the condition itself.
They had what's called a lytic lesion, which means it's kind of a chewed out portion of the bone due to the multiple myeloma.
Wow. So Bob was sent to a skilled nursing facility. He resides there today. He's still undergoing chemo treatments. For the past year, he's been taking 30 milligrams of OxyContin a day. Suffice it to say...
For pain.
Suffice it to say, he's having issues with constipation, as would anybody taking an opioid like that, right? So he's been taking various laxatives. Well, Bob wants to leave the nursing home and has made a valiant effort to regain his life. He's been titrating off both the OxyContin and laxatives.
Okay.
So Bob was expecting to have issues with the OxyContin, but it turns out getting off the laxative has been more problematic. His entire digestive system is in rebellion.
You can become dependent on laxatives.
Yeah. So he's in a great deal of bloating, severe pain. Is there anything you can recommend that may help?
So there is a medication.
Okay.
And in fact, it's a medication that's advertised on TV. That's designed, there's so many people who are taking opiates, it's the consequence of our opiate overprescribing, that there are a lot of people who have opiate-induced constipation. People who had back pain and now they're hooked on pain medication, commonly, or any number of things. So the medication is called Movantik. And you've seen the ads for it, and it kind of goes, oh, 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 Movantik.
Uh-huh.
And that's a song.
That's a song by the band Pilot from the 70s, late 70s, early 80s.
What's the original?
70s, mid-70s.
What's the original lyric?
Ho, 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 it's magic.
Ho, oh, 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 it's magic.
Ho, ho, it's magic.
Magic, right.
You know, never believe it's not so.
Were they a one-hit wonder, that group, Pilot?
I think so. Yeah. I remember having this 45 and playing it on my phonograph.
Right.
I don't remember what was on the B-side, but I don't remember anything else.
And you taught your little sister to sing it?
She sang it, and I had a tape of her singing it at 5 years old. That was fun.
That's cool. Okay, so a little digression. So anyway, Movantik, what it does is it blocks some of the opiate receptors without interfering with the pain-reducing effects. Mm-hmm. It is a Mu2 receptor blocker. So it blocks the receptors in the gastrointestinal tract that are slowed by the opiate medications. I don't know if it's going to work in oxycodone, but oxycodone is of that family of opiates.
Yeah.
It's a synthetic opiate. So, you know, Movantik, an expensive medication. I don't know if the nursing home wants to foot the bill for it or apply it for it. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like it's less of a problem that he's on pain medication than that he's become hooked on the laxatives.
Yeah, it's the laxatives.
Laxative dependent.
More than anything.
And I have a lot of trouble with laxative dependent patients because they really are dependent. They can be slowly weaned. You know, we like to use, you know, magnesium
citrate. We like to use,
maybe
we'll
C,
add some flaxseed,
but you know, flaxseed for this type of constipation is not that good because it's, you know, he might need medical management of his constipation. There are, types of more powerful laxative drugs that are now available. A gastroenterologist might figure that out. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, and we did talk about this, I think in last week's podcast, is the pacemakers. They're vagal nerve stimulators. Mm-hmm. They're not quite ready for prime time, but I think that within the next 5 years, they will be able to have either implantable pacemakers or pacemaker belts that will actually send signals to the gastrointestinal tract to peristalsis, which is that normal contraction that occurs that kind of gets interrupted when you have chronic constipation. That, you know, it's the peristalsis is like that sort of worm-like undulation
that pushes the
food down.
Through, down. Right, yeah, yeah. Right.
You know, that can be restored maybe electronically in the future. Doesn't offer much hope in the here and now, but there are experts in gastroparesis and motility at many university hospitals, and, you know, you can see them for this and work on that.
Yeah,
because this is a very common problem.
It is.
It's people with pain and debilitation, and they take laxatives, and then they just lose the ability to go to the bathroom on their own.
Yeah. Right. Oh, boy. Cindy, best of luck to your friend. Thank you for your email. Oh, this comes from Larry. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, please tell me that this is nonsense.
Okay, it's nonsense.
It's nonsense, Larry.
That'll be
forget about it.
That'll be $150.
This is an article from the Washington Post.
Okay.
Most dietary supplements...
A reliable source?
Oh, I don't know. Most dietary supplements don't do anything. Why do we spend $35 billion a year on them?
When is that from? That came out recently?
This came out January 27th. Washington
of
Post.
Of 2020?
Yes. By Tamar Haspel.
Really?
And she's wondering, why are we spending so much money on vitamins? I've spoken to scientists. Nobody's really backing it up. And some of the fish oil studies are a little questionable. And, you know, unless you have a true deficiency, that it's probably not going to help you so much. And she kind of goes to and fro and back and forth.
I don't think that's worthy. I don't think that's worthy of the Washington Post. I mean, the Washington Post is supposed to be like a very, you know, reputable paper. You know, the paper of record in our capital, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a silly article because it's like saying, it's kind of tantamount to saying most drugs aren't worth it or aren't worth taking because there's too many side effects and they're not effective. And that's the case for many drugs. But does that, you know, we can't use a broad brush and use that as a whole category.
We
can say that some of the claims may be exaggerated. Mm-hmm. We can also say that there's some real, very, very plausible theories. I mean, frankly, if what she says is true, it would negate this entire program. There would be nothing to, we'd have nothing to talk about.
Totally.
There would be no studies that I could relate. There could be nothing I could share.
Right.
You know?
Right. Or she claims going through her article, this headline is very deceiving is really what it is. That it's a short list, you know, ginger is good for nausea, peppermint for upset stomach, melatonin for sleep. And fish oil does seem to show some promise for cardiovascular disease, although some of the data is conflicting. On the vitamin and mineral side,
so the article
side,
is more nuanced than the headline.
Exactly. So we can't just go by this headline. Folic acid reduces risk for fetal neural tube defects. Vitamin B12 in food is sometimes poorly absorbed. And supplements can help people over age 50. So it's not really poo-pooing it.
So has she read Alan Gaby's definitive text on nutritional supplements?
I think that needs to be required reading for anybody writing about
anything. It's about 1,300 pages. It's like a doorstop. And it's full of well-referenced scientific articles about the... First, it's a section on supplements and the bona fides and benefits of the supplements. The next section is on medical conditions and, you know, so if you've got the whatever, you know, $150 or $200 to buy one, send it to her, and if she takes the time before moving on to the next clickbait headline story, she'll become more knowledgeable and educated about the supplements.
I mean,
it's, you know, if you're not up on it, you're down on it.
Exactly.
And she's just not up on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, what's next? I mean, I can see an agenda here.
Totally.
Washington Post, very much a pro-regulatory paper, along with the New York Times. And the next article is, we need more...
people on pharmaceuticals.
Well, no, not even so much, not so much that, but more regulation of vitamins and supplements, you know, because the, people are wasting their money, the worthless claims, you know, let's ban, you know, a lot of the supplements. Let's restrict access to information about the benefits of supplements because it's a, you know, we're perpetrating great fraud on the American people. I can see that coming. You know, that
we're going to have to hit back on that.
Yeah. So it's, you know. Yeah. But it's a tired trope at this point.
It really is, this whole disinformation campaign about supplements.
Yep.
Wow.
Not that... You know, I will say that, you know, when we see negative studies about supplements, you know, I'll share them with you because sometimes we believed something was helpful and then we have to say, oh, you know,
hey, well, guess what?
We have to reconsider it.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially if something new is found that we didn't see before. Yep. I mean, we didn't see electrons before the development of the electron microscope. If we didn't see something that is now apparent, we have to take all that into consideration.
Yep.
Otherwise, we're not worthy scientists. Yeah.
But I think it's an unscientific stance to paint a broad brush.
It is.
And
agree.
I the average Americans who are taking nutritional supplements, you know, we characterize them as gullible, poorly educated, superstitious. It is so the opposite. It's the very people who take supplements.
They're educated.
Well-educated.
Yes.
They spend the time listening to programs like this. They're
they
analytical.
They practice self-care.
They're skeptical. They're also skeptical about conventional medicine, which I think is an appropriate attitude these days. I recently wrote an article about a book called Medical Nihilism, which is a very weighty philosophical tract that's a little hard to wade through. I did it, you know, on behalf of my listeners to digest the basic arguments in it, which is that we should take a more skeptical view towards medicines and supplements and high-tech interventions because they're often introduced on scant evidence with limited benefits and with concealed downsides.
Yeah.
Now that, I think, is a worthy story. You're not going to probably see that on, you know, headline, medical nihilism. You know, an idea whose time has come. That won't be on the front page of the Washington Post. You will, however, read it, you know, the 1/1,000th of the number of people who look at the Washington Post will see it on our intelligent medicine site.
Yes.
But it's not the prevailing view. It's the minority view. But it should if we're going to have skepticism about the benefits of nutritional supplements, let's apply that skeptical eye towards conventional treatments. And if we do,
yes,
they're going to come up short.
They are. Yeah. Especially when it comes to something like cancer treatments.
Oh, my goodness. So, cancer treatments, but...
That's a whole other podcast.
Cardiovascular prevention. Mm-hmm. Limited benefits of these very expensive interventions. Too many stents unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Do they really extend life? Some mm-hmm. studies say no. What? So another question you could ask, you could say, well, in the face of so much evidence that stents don't deliver a benefit in not in every case. I mean, I think stents can be life-saving, but in many cases, they've been shown to not extend life mm-hmm. and introduce hazard and expense into medical care.
Yeah.
So why isn't, you know, is that prevent, why are doctors not stopping that? And why is the public still embracing it? Yeah. You know, it's just as irrational as if supplements were worthless that people are taking supplements. True. At least supplements are less harmful.
Yes. Yes. Well.
The double standard.
Double standard. Absolutely. Double standard.
Shall I tell you what I really think?
Yes, tell me what
I'm holding
really
back
think.
Here. I'm holding. Okay, enough for today because we kind of exceed our time limit. Radioprogram at AOL.com is the destination for questions, and we look forward to your questions next week, and we'll tackle them, and you know, maybe we'll have some comments on the emerging coronavirus.
Yeah.
Which
stay tuned for your coronavirus update.
Yeah, which hopefully will remain all quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.